Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2531, with a release date of Friday, May 1st, 2026, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, special recognition for 4D expeditions featuring remote stations, mysteries of radio revealed to students in Pakistan, and a warm reception by Japanese hams for 70 years of Antarctic research. All this and more is Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2531 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Our top story this week recognizes the increasing popularity of remote activations as integral parts of de-expeditions. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, tells us about two such recent radio adventures being honored.
Two recent de-expeditions that featured remote radio operations have been recognized by the Northern California DX Foundation, which is presenting both activations with a DXcellence Award, now in its fifth year. The criteria included de-expeditions' complexity, its impact on its most wanted ranking, and on club log, and of course, overall performance. The Foundation's Board of Directors chose the KP5/NP3VI Desecheo de-expedition and the PJ6Y Youth de-expedition to Ceiba Island. Both adventures include remote radio operations. The KP5 operation was 100% remote, as well as being solar-powered. The team's media officer, Steve N2AJ, said in a press release that having the first fully solar-powered, fully remote de-expedition was a groundbreaking achievement, adding that, quote, advanced technology and careful planning can deliver the world-class results while maintaining an exceptionally low environmental footprint, end quote. The team of operators was required to follow strict guidelines from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to ensure a minimal impact on the environment. That means no generators, no amplifiers, and no traditional beam antennas. The PJ6Y Youth de-expedition was chosen for its involvement of young operators from around the world who spent 2 weeks on the island of Ceiba. This more traditional style activation featured some first-time de-expeditioners. It was supplemented with radios operated remotely by as many as 30 young amateurs around the world. The technically complex arrangement was considered a success on many levels, most especially as an investment in the future of amateur radio for the next generation. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Students on a university campus in Karachi, Pakistan, were looking for a lesson that would blend history with modern technology, and they found it in amateur radio. John Williams, VK4JJW, picks up the story from here.
When the Science Society at Sindh Madrasatul Islam University in Karachi, Pakistan, called CQ, it was only natural that amateur radio responded. Between 45 and 50 students from various arts and science disciplines received a history lesson about amateur radio and hands-on instruction on how radio can help save lives. At the students' invitation, Muhammad Salman, AP2MS, a regional coordinator for the Pakistan Amateur Radio Society, visited the school on the 25th of April with a number of other hams to give an introduction to amateur radio and engage the students in field demonstrations using repeaters and later DMR to talk to one another. He then showed everyone how to operate, dividing students into groups with the help of fellow hams Kashif, AP2KM, and Rihan, AP2DDC, along with SWL members Ahmad Feroz and Duan Shahid. Muhammad told Newsline in an email, quote, "They were surprised to know that a 100-year-old technology still has impact," end quote. The response was strong and positive, so much so that the hams will return to conduct a field day on VHF and HF in a remote area. The hams will demonstrate how copper wires can be transformed into antennas and how stations can be quickly established in emergencies. Muhammad told Newsline, quote, "We received a very good response from students. Many showed their interest to join the Pakistan Amateur Radio Society as SWLs to start their ham radio journey," end quote. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Hams in Italy are mourning the loss of a longtime radio amateur and a leader within the community during his rich, full life. We hear more about him from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
During the many decades that followed his entry into amateur radio, Ennio Tonon, I0FHZ, became a well-known presence on VHF, UHF and even SHF, taking part in contests, presenting at technical symposia, and eventually rising to leadership within the ranks of the ARI, Italy's National Amateur Radio Society. Ennio, who had served as president of ARI's section in Orvieto, became a silent key on the 17th of April. A Facebook post, translated from Italian, announcing his death, called his passing, quote, a great loss for the entire Italian radio amateur community, which recognized in him not only a skilled operator, but a reference point, a steady signal in a world that often fades into noise, unquote. His leadership was praised for taking diverse groups of newcomers and experienced operators and creating a community from them. Ennio's death came just a few days short of what would have been his 102nd birthday in May. This was Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
If you weren't able to attend the 23rd annual CubeSat Developers Workshop held in early April in California, you can still catch up with an important presentation about amateur radio in space, delivered by AMSAT President Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA. Drew gave a progress report on the 3U CubeSat project known as the Golf-T mission. Golf-T is expected to carry a 30 kHz wide linear transponder for ham radio communications, as well as a 10 GHz high-speed experimental downlink and improved three-axis attitude control. This project is targeted for completion by early next year. He also provided an update on the Fox Plus series of CubeSats, which blend commercial hardware with radio payloads developed by AMSAT. To see the presentation, visit the link that appears in the text version of this week's report at arnewsline.org. May is an important month for hams in Canada who are using the radios to applaud and to thank the men and women who help safeguard members of the public. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us how to listen for them on the air.
In Canada, two special events in May are designed to be public service events too. Hams have organized VB3 COPS during Police Services Week and VB3 EMS during Paramedic Services Week, also known as Emergency Medical Services Week. Although both events are about getting on the air, there's a lot more to them than just the QSOs. Between May 10th and 16th, a group of amateurs in Southwest Ontario will be calling CQ as VB3 COPS as a thank you to the police for the various services they provide. This coincides with National Police Week, a campaign that began in 1970 in Canada when those in police services also showcased their different responsibilities. Then from May 17th through the 23rd, hams using the call sign VB3EMS will honor first responders for their work and remind chasers of some basic safety tips, such as the need to know your blood type, your allergies, your emergency contacts, and how to perform CPR, among many other important points. For details, frequencies, and operating modes, see the QRZ.com pages for these stations. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Time is growing short to nominate a promising young radio amateur for the Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. So don't forget, you only have until the 31st of May, and it's coming up fast. Nominees must be licensed hams who are 18 years of age or younger, and they must reside in the continental United States. Visit our website, arnewsline.org, and find the nomination form under the Awards tab. Submit the documentation that tells us how your nominee has played an important role not just in the community of fellow amateurs, but in the community at large. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the J88CU repeater, Fridays at 6:30 p.m. local time in Kingstown, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines. HamLib, a reliable amateur radio tool for more than 25 years, has been chosen to receive this year's Amateur Radio Software Award. Cell MB KB3 TZD has those details.
The Amateur Radio Software Award Committee has recognized the HamLib project for reliably providing a means for amateur radio software applications to connect with controllable devices such as radios, amplifiers, and rotators. The international team of core developers were praised for keeping HamLib current in a dynamic world that regularly introduces new amateur radio applications. HamLib's core team is Nate Bargman, N0NB, Danielle Forsey, IU5HKX, George Baltz, N3GB, and Mikhail Nusanian, OH3BHX. The Software Award website notes that, quote, despite its age, the project remains actively maintained, with new radios and devices added regularly. HamLib continues to be the go-to library for both established and emerging amateur radio applications. HamLib abstracts many of the serial, Ethernet, Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth interfaces that allow software-based control, enabling interaction with shack equipment for the use of FLDigi, JS8 call, WSJTX, and other widely used applications. Earlier developers included founder Frank Singleton, VK4FCS, Stephanie Philod, F8CFE, and Mike Black, W9MDB, now a silent key. This is CellMB, KB3TZD.
The Canadian Amateur, which is published by the Radio Amateurs of Canada, is looking for a new editor. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us what the job requires.
Alan Griffin, the current editor of the Canadian Amateur, the Radio Amateurs of Canada magazine, is retiring. The RAC is in search of someone to step into the role at the membership journal, which is published in print and digital versions 6 times a year. Candidates should be experienced in the publishing, journalism, or communications field and be familiar with desktop publishing software and the use of AI tools for writing. The editor is also responsible for the magazine's design and its content, which should be a balance of historical, technical, operating, and community-focused topics. Content should also reflect the RAC's priorities. The editor will also coordinate with advertisers and sponsors and manage the placement of ads within the magazine. This is a contract position that requires oversight of the editorial content and management of the full production cycle. The application deadline is May 15. Interested candidates can send a resume, a cover letter, and work samples to the RAC office manager, Adam McDonnell, at the email address in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Members of the next generation of amateur radio operators are stepping up to share their vision. Ralph Scolacci, KK6ITB, explains what that will mean for the future.
Two young amateurs who are already experienced DXers and DXpeditioners have been given the responsibility of helping guide support for future DXpeditions to top entities around the world. Violetta Latham, KN2P, and Max Friedman, N4ML, are now among the panel of directors who will oversee ways the private Northern California DX Foundation can provide financial support to these teams. Violetta's earliest DXpeditions include the Dave Coulter Memorial Youth DX Adventure in Curacao in 2018. According to her page on QRZ.com, she is scheduled to be part of the ZK3 team going to Tokelau in the South Pacific in November of this year, and to South Georgia for the VP0SG DXpedition in March of 2027. Max's recent DXpeditions include this year's 3Y0K activation of Bouvet Island, where he was the youngest member of the team, and his activation in Curacao as PJ2/N4ML. Their selection underscores the importance of bringing younger hams into the DXpedition universe. At the same meeting held on the 20th of April, the board accepted the resignation of George Wallner, AA7JV, who has been a leading proponent in developing radio-in-a-box technology for the DX community. His replacement is Greg Marco, W6IZT, who has developed a next-generation radio-in-a-box system that has been enabling more young hams around the world to become involved in DXpeditions via remote access. He has also led DXpedition teams that included young amateurs. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
In the world of DX, the Emirates Amateur Radio Society will be on the air through to the 31st of May as part of the national pride campaign known as Proud of UAE. The main call sign is A60PE, although some operators may add stroke 0, stroke 1, and other numerals to the suffix. Harry JG7PSJ is operating through to the 4th of May as JD1BMH from the Ogasawara Islands, IOTA number AS031. Listen on 40 through 10 meters where you'll be using CW, sideband, and RTTY. The Antwerp Port Contest Club is using the call sign OT26EPIC to promote the Antwerp Port Epic Cycling Race. The club is on the air and will finish their activation on race day, which is the 25th of May. Listen for Holger ZL3IO operating as ZL7IO from Waitangi, Chatham Islands, IOTA number OC038, from the 25th of May through to the 3rd of June. He will be operating CW sideband and digital on 160 through 10 meters. Holger will also participate in the CQ Worldwide WPXCW contest. For QSL and other operating details, see each station's listing on QRZ.com. Japan began its earliest research into the Antarctic region in January of 1957 at a location on East Ongle Island, a facility that eventually expanded to become a global hub for atmospheric research. This enduring effort by the Japan Antarctic Research Expedition is about to be celebrated widely throughout Japan, as Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, tells us in this week's final report.
4 kilometers off the Antarctic mainland on East Ongle Island, the research facility known as Showa Station stands as a starting point where researchers from Japan long ago began unlocking the various mysteries of the atmosphere, including studies of the ozone layer. The station has since become a resource of the Japan Meteorological Agency, the National Institute of Polar Research, and other organizations. And at any given time, 30 researchers are engaged in observations and analysis. The facility is even home to a ham radio club station of the Japan Amateur Radio League, and members of the Japanese Antarctic Research Expedition team call QRZ using the call sign HJ1RL. Starting this month and through to next January, the amateur radio action shifts north to Japan itself, where a different call sign is the one to listen for. Hams throughout Japan will be calling CQ as HJ70JARE, starting on the 22nd of May. Hams, who know well the importance of understanding the atmosphere, are paying tribute to the expedition's 70th anniversary and the team's establishment of this important research site. The on-air tribute will continue through to the 29th of January 2027, the date that marks the station's 70th anniversary. This is Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
With thanks to Amateur News Daily, Amateur Radio Software Award, AMSAT News, ARDC, ARI, David BR, K7DB, David, VE3KGK, DX World, Facebook, FCC, 425 DX News, George Dewar, VY2GF, Giorgio Lacconi, IZ3KVD, Massimo Bilcotti, I4YH, Muhammad Salman, AP2MS, Radio Amateurs of Canada, shortwaveradio.de, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.